Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Suspects as we roll you through hour number two and then start the final 60 minutes of the show. We've talked a lot of different topics today. We're talking Rockets on a lot of different fronts. And we appreciate the fact that Sean's been patiently holding. He wants to get in here on the Rockets coach. Sean, what's going on, man?
Joel, Nick, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
What's up?
Not too much. You know, I'm going to stay on the young topic, coach. What about Jason Kidd?
Yeah, I mean, there's another guy, Sean, that had to learn some lessons. You know, aside from being friends with Giannis, and knowing a lot of people around that organization as I do, he was kind of a mental warfare guy. He played a lot of mental warfare with players where he would treat his superstars a certain way, but then other guys on the team, he would have a lot of tough love, you know, would put a lot of things in the media hoping that they would get it. There are a lot of people that felt like he alienated them. If he's learned his lessons and now he's an assistant coach with the Lakers, I think he'll get some looks. I do believe in time he'll get another job. I just don't know if you want to put a guy that's had that kind of shortcomings in the past with superstars and with a team come into the environment the Rockets are going to have with those dominant personalities like Russ and James. Nick, I don't know if you think differently. That's just my take on it.
I tend to think that he'll eventually get a job. I think where he's at right now, not as a head coach, is probably beneficial for Jason Kidd. Now, he had a little, you know, he had a little cup of tea as a head coach, and it didn't go very well for him, and he didn't really prove himself. But it was only one time. It was pretty quick, and he's, you know, he is Jason Kidd, so I wouldn't mind giving him one more chance as a head coach, just to see what he could potentially bring to the table, because he is relatively young enough to relate to these players, and I feel like he's a good basketball mind. I just don't know if he can translate that well to players. So I like Jason Kidd. I would like to see him get at least one more chance with a decent team for at least a couple of seasons just to see what he could do. I just don't know if that's the route you take right now. And honestly, I don't know if that's beneficial for Jason Kidd. You know, I think I agree with you. I mean, he was also the guy that didn't he like purposely have a player run into him so he can drop a cup of ice? And then
I think that was an outstanding move. I think that was phenomenal in the fact that he was out of timeouts and he knew that he could get the essentially an extra timeout by doing that until they figured out he did it purposely. But I'm never going to fault him for that because that's just, I mean, really using your noggin. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think he'll get another chance. I just don't know now. I think he's at a good place, you know, with the Lakers, right? And you can just kind of absorb everything you can right now, and then maybe one day down the line, you're a big enough name. There's a lot of names that we just mentioned, like Sam Cassell and Mario Elie. They don't have the name recognition that Jason Kidd has, and they're probably over, you know, being overlooked. Jason Kidd is a guy that I think is a name that's going to continue to pop up, even if you don't necessarily believe he's a good head coach in the NBA because of his name recognition and what he's done in the game. You know?
But I think the other thing, Nick, is that, and again, this gets down to ownership and decision makers and having the right general manager. You can get enamored with a name, and you can get a name that's going to sell tickets. You're going to get a name like Jason Kidd that says Hall of Fame player. But do you really get a guy that says this is a guy that one can coach and is the right coach for the situation that I have? I.e., you're not trying to get over the hump. You're not trying to rebuild a franchise. You're talking about a team that only has one aspiration, as Daryl Morey has stated over and over again, and that's to win a championship. So you need a guy that has a playoff pedigree. You need a guy that gets the respect of the players by having a reputation as a coach. And I think a lot of owners and a lot of general managers get caught up in a name and a sexiness of a marketability that doesn't translate to the roster that you have and the end game that you want. And I think that there's a lot of the names that are out there that fit the bill of being a guy that may be sexy and marketable, but may not be the guy that gets you where you want to go as a team.
There you have it. I mean, as big as a name as he is, he's going to have to prove it too. Just because he's Jason Kidd, it doesn't mean people are just going to throw a whole bunch of money at him. I mean, he's probably going to get a lot of money thrown at him, but it doesn't mean he's necessarily the right man for the job. So I totally agree.
Thanks for the call, Sean. We do appreciate it. Boy, Nick, I don't know if you saw this, and we can have some fun with this as we roll on, but ESPN ranked the top 74 jerseys in NBA history and then ranked the 10 worst uniforms in NBA history. And I'm just going to let you know right off the top, the fact that the Rockets pinstripe uniform wasn't one of the 10 worst jerseys in league history is the biggest travesty I've ever heard in my life, because I don't know that any uniform has been uglier. There's been ugly, but I don't know that Rockets uniform is any uglier than any jersey that's ever been in the NBA.
Yeah, I think I have an explanation for it. I think I have an idea, because the younger crowd appreciate that, because that's the logo that they grew up with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Nick, the uniform itself is, and I can tell you the backstory, that the NBA started having designers and people that kind of had an influence on jerseys from the teams. And so when the teams would submit a request to want to change the jerseys, the NBA would get involved. The Rockets jerseys came in the same time as the Raptors jerseys, because the new cutting edge thing was a logo that was basically took up the entire front of the uniform. And I can tell you from experience with the players during that time, that big stitched on Rocket with teeth and the rock, all that stuff, all that stitching was itchy. All of that was heavy when they sweated. The players hated that uniform.
I remember you talking about it, and I remember seeing it on TV and thinking, dude, that's they look like heavy jerseys. So, yeah, I'm not shocked that jersey didn't last very long. But I guess from an aesthetic standpoint, I personally think it's ugly. I know you think they were ugly, but there's a lot of people, a lot of younger players that would, younger fans that absolutely love that style. I would definitely put it in the top 10. But I think there have been worse.
Top 10 what? Bad or good?
Top 10 worst jerseys of all time.
So I'm going to retweet this. They say that the worst uniform of all time was the Sacramento Kings gold shiny alternates in 2005-2006. Gold, like boxers, shorts, shiny. Full uniform with purple and white trim. Not great, not as ugly as the Rockets. Now, I don't remember these. The 2003-2004 silver alternate Mavericks jerseys, which look kind of like glorified hefty bags. They're ugly. They might fight the Rockets for ugliest. Now, third on their list was the sleeved Christmas Day big logo jerseys that they did in 2013. I was against all the sleeve jerseys, so I can see that. Again, number four was the Warriors sleeved alternate jersey. Any T-shirt jersey should be up there.
I feel like. I never really embraced the T-shirt jersey.
That was awful. And I don't think the players liked it either. And then number five was the Boston Celtics 2014-2015 gray alternates. They're not bad. They're just gray with the green and white trim and shamrocks on the shorts. I've seen a lot worse.
The Nuggets are not on there?
Nuggets is one of the top three greatest or top five greatest uniforms of all time on their best list.
Wow.
The rainbow. Yeah.
Are you a fan of those jerseys?
They were all right. I mean, it's kind of like the Astros jersey, the rainbow jerseys. I think, you either love them or you hate them, but I think a whole lot of people in the day absolutely loved them.
Interesting. I wasn't a big fan. I wasn't a big fan.
Of the Astros?
No, of the Nuggets.
Oh, okay. All right, so I just tweeted out the 10 worst. And then 10 best, I don't know if you're for it or against. Lakers yellows are number one, best jersey of all time. I don't know that I can go that far.
I don't know if I can go the best of all time, but I can put it up there because they're not ugly, and they're just classic uniforms. So
I'll give you. The traditional classics – Celtics, Lakers. Knicks have gotten a little bit more jazzed up in the near future. I mean, in the near history, but overall, they've had traditionally won. The Bulls. They've got alternates now, but that Bulls, obviously after the whole MJ years, it's iconic. The Bulls red and the Bulls white.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, there's some that you don't you almost feel bothered to change. You know what I mean? And I think the Bulls are that's one of them. The Celtics.
So here's your top five best of all time. Number one, Lakers Showtime yellow. Number two, Celtics classic green. Number three, Chicago Bulls road red. Now here's where it gets a little weird. Number four, Orlando Magic electric blue with the white pinstripes, the uniforms they wore against the Rockets in the 95 finals. Wasn't a fan of those. I don't know if I agree with that at number four. And number five, the Nuggets rainbows that you're talking about on the blue. I'm not feeling any of that.
Now, I've always loved the Orlando blue, but I agree with you in that I did not like the stripes. And for whatever, back in the day, you know how they would always have, like, you know, it was basically champion. It was basically two versions, right? The authentic jersey was about $80, and then the $40.
Yep.
So the authentic one, the authentic Magic jersey, would have those stripes. And I would actually like the $40 more unauthentic jersey without, because they made those without the stripes. So the color I absolutely love. Like, that's one of my favorite colors of all time. I just in jerseys in general, or just clothes in general, I just don't know why they put the stripes. The stripes was a thing back in the day for a while in the 90s. I just don't.
Oh,
it
became
it.
A big thing. That's ironic. In this list, that Raptors ugly Rockets pinstripe like jersey, the white one, is their 14th best jersey. No, it's not. It's not. It's very similar to the Rocket pinstripe one. It had the crooked pinstripes. It had the big-ass stitched-on dinosaur on the front. Vince Carter wore it. Damon Stoudemire. I'm not a fan of that jersey either. By the way, someone texted in and said, so thankful Barry's not here to debate basketball jerseys because he and Nick would get in a fight. That's pretty accurate.
That's a fact.
So, yeah, I'll also retweet this best list. I don't quite agree with the best list, too, because some of the best list, I'm going, The Miami Heat, Miami Vice jersey is not a good jersey.
No. They have good jerseys. Miami does. The Heat, but not that particular jersey.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And some of the, like, I did like the old Charlotte Hornets when they had Larry Johnson
I
and
love
Alonzo
them.
Mourning.
I love those jerseys.
The Phoenix, Charles Barkley, black jersey, which I think all of those jerseys during that time were pretty cool. But number 10, they had the old Washington Bullets, the white, it looked like the American flag with the red and white stripes. 9 was the New Jersey Nets when Dr. J played there with the, again, the patriotic red, white, and blue with the stars down the side. 8, the Miami Heat, Miami Vice. 7, the Hornets. 6, the San Francisco Warriors city jersey, which they are now still wearing again. It's okay. But I think there were a lot better. Like, I think the traditional Sixers, if you're going to go with the red, white, and blue, with the old basketball with the 76 with the stars around it, I think that was cool. I'm trying to think of some of my favorite uniforms in the league. A lot.
You know what we
said,
think is traditional is probably not even going to be traditional anymore. It's going to probably be.
Someone said those Sonics white jerseys of the 80s with Sean Kemp and Gary Payton.
I like
those
them.
Are pretty good. Yeah,
I like
those. So I would go with that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. You guys can let me know what you think. I just retweeted it. Obviously, the MJ jerseys now are going to be big. But I just thought I'd throw it out there. Now, let's get to this real quick before we go to the break. This is the one that's going to bother you. Getting back to football. Part of the thing when we were talking about when does the NFL get back to business, are there fans involved? Peter King of NBC Sports, longtime SI writer, big-time NFL writer, says there's still a cloud of uncertainty with the season coming up. The thought of 60,000-plus fans packed together in a stadium doesn't seem anywhere near possible given the pandemic and the coronavirus. With that, he brings solutions. According to an NFL writer and insider like Peter King, he suggests NFL games with no alcohol would be a logical step to take during the pandemic because, as he quotes, I could see alcohol being banned at games for the year, meaning theoretically fewer trips to the crowded restrooms through the crowded concourses by patrons.
Learn how to sneak in your booze to the stadium. Be better, people. Like, I mean, what do I got to tell? No, on a serious note, here's what I'll tell you. I actually think, and he's probably not going, you know, on this thought process. I actually think finding a way somehow to reduce the number of trips to the bathroom would actually help. But how do you do that? Now, I will say at the Fertitta Center, because of its, you know, its size and nature, okay, and the intimate nature of the stadium, and the fact that they don't have enough bathrooms, there's normally long lines outside the bathrooms. In the Fertitta Center. But you know what they do to relieve that is porta potties. And that's what I would suggest, as crazy as it sounds. Why? Because I've used the porta potties at the University of Houston. They're actually pretty clean considering they're porta potties. B, porta potties are supposed to be temporary. They're not necessarily meant to just stay there. So you add porta potties and then you have them, have them remove it and clean it after every game.
And you bring up a good point, because it keeps the isolation factor and the social distancing, because the other thing that they said in a lot of these big venues is with the sinks and the urinals, they're going to block off every other sink and urinal because of the fact that they need that social distancing as well as the hygiene. That's a huge problem, because now you're going to back up the lines even more. You have less urinals. You have less sinks to wash your hands. That's a huge problem. But I think from Peter King's perspective, you can't discriminate like that, because whether people get a drink or not, they're going to be people going to the snack stands, people that want popcorn and pretzels and sodas and all that stuff, people that just walk the concourse looking for merchandise. So you're still going to have the traffic. Once they're in the gates, you can't do that, because the other thing he suggests, which is really ludicrous, is he could envision fans over the age of 70 being asked to not show up to games, since the elderly at more are at risk for the virus. Now, that's plain and simple discrimination you just can't do.
Yeah, I don't think you can get away with that. But going back to the porta potty thing, and the fact that people won't, there'll be fewer sinks to wash their hands, and I'm glad Barry's not here to hate on my Cougs here. But the other thing that the Cougs did with the University of Houston and the Fertitta Center is not only did they add porta potties, but they have porta potty sinks. So you push your foot, like there's like a little foot pedal, and you push on it and the water comes out. There's soap, there's paper towels, there's hand sanitizer. So there's actually portable sinks that you can add to this equation as well. I just don't know you cutting out the alcohol. I mean, it's kind of laughable, only in the fact that throughout this entire pandemic, no matter how bad it's gotten, liquor stores have absolutely remained open, have been deemed essential, and have absolutely been thriving. And yet you think the alcohol sales, they're just going to stop alcohol sales at a game. It's going to be interesting to see if anybody actually takes that approach. But I feel like they need to put more thought into it and see if there's any other alternative.
Well, I think that's the bigger thing, Nick. The takeaway of all takeaways is you got to put more thought into all of this. And unless you're absolutely 100% sure in your decisions, I don't think you make them at this point, because the risk-reward could be too detrimental if you start up too soon, or you allow, you know, too many people in too quickly and try and get back to normal. And then, like we talked about, then somebody, you know, someone gets it, or, you know, a couple people have it, and then it runs rampant through people that came in contact or around a person that went to a game. I think that's where you start getting, a negative reaction to it that would take a long time to kind of survive.
Yeah, I would agree with
as
that.
A league. And I don't think a lot of people want to take that risk as a league. So that's where I think that you got to draw the line as well. So I knew that would have a very specific and sincere point of interest with you. So I had to throw that out there for you. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. What's great about Apollo Men's Health is they've been getting a lot of phone calls, even during the coronavirus, for guys saying, look, I heard it on ESPN 97.5. I heard Joel talk about it, and I had to get to see you guys. And then they're so excited with the fact that you're treated like a family or a friend. They welcome you in. They offer you drinks. They say if you're uncomfortable in the waiting room, you can wait inside in one of the exam rooms. They want to make sure that you feel comfortable, and they take care of all your needs as a man. That means you may not have any energy with this pandemic going on when you're supposed to be playing with your kids, or you want to get back in the gym and start working out with more time on your hands, and you don't have that get up and go. It's gotten up and left. Or maybe in the bedroom, you're not performing like you once did, and it's bothersome. Well, they can handle all those things and more. They have traditional testosterone therapy. They also have a new cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy that, with everything going on with the coronavirus, You don't want to be out and about as much. You don't have to be, but you still get all the same results because of the cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy with a time release. They also offer things just for your overall health and wellness, body composition analysis, HGH peptide therapy. Everything they do is centered around you and increasing your overall quality of life. Because your health is your wealth. Invest in yourself. Call them now, 832-664-9966. Go to their website, apollomh.com. You can book your first appointment online. Most major insurance accepted and discounts for military personnel and first responders. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by Apollo Men's Health.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Catching up on some text as we roll through the final hour of the show. A lot of topics that we've covered. Nancy Lieberman was a name that people threw out there as a possible next coach in the NBA. Nancy Lieberman, legendary player, paid her dues. She's coached in the G League. So there's a name for you. Avery Johnson's a name that people are throwing out there. Look, Avery Johnson's a guy that, unfortunately, maybe the NBA is his best bet, because in college, you know, he just got done at Alabama, where he was not successful and he was let go. He hasn't had a lot of success in the college game. I don't know. He did okay when he was coaching the Mavs. Mario Elliott was one of his assistants when he was there in Dallas. Someone said, just cut out the middleman and make James Harden the head coach. Now, you want to see the entire franchise implode, go ahead and try that and see how that goes. Because now if you thought most of the plays were designed for James Harden, all of the plays would be designed for James Harden. Believe me when I tell you this. Someone else said, I think I'm to the point where Harden and the Rockets are exactly what I see the Texans with Bill O'Brien. Why make moves that Harden likes when we can see it doesn't work? I would restart the franchise with Westbrook and move away from Harden. Nick, where have we heard that before? I'm just going to leave that one right there. And what's going on with our boy Cowboy Trav? He called out 790 yesterday and said that Matt Thomas was stealing my intro. What up, H-Town? Now he says 790 came at me hard. Will you tell us, Cowboy Trav, if you need help and you need to call the cavalry, we're here for you.
They came out, Cowboy Trav, pretty hard?
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, first of all, he said, if y'all had the Last Dance documentary, what songs would be in your documentary? Well, they played our song during the last episode of the documentary. We know what song we would have. It's our intro song every day, Trav. But the fact that they came at you hard because you called them out and Matt Thomas for using What Up H-Town, I want to know what happened there, because that's some BS.
Fill us in for sure. Also on the text line is, people are telling me the water on those sinks, those portable sinks, are actually it's actually recycled.
Yeah, that sounds nasty.
That, you know, I would hope that's illegal, because that's absolutely disgusting. I will say, though, I've also heard that restaurants could, I think they're allowed to use recycled water when cleaning dishes, because as long as it's like at a certain temperature when they wash the dishes, then it's okay, or it's approved. So I would hope that's not true, but, you know, I've definitely washed my... What else are you going to do? You have the portable sink placed right outside the porta potty. Like, where else are you going to go? You're going to go back in and use a regular sink?
Well, but here's the thing, Nick. I think you bring up a good point. The porta potties are added to the actual bathrooms that are permanent fixtures within the building. So hopefully you can use the sink right inside the bathroom. There's a different line. If you think about it, you can go actually in the outdoor if you have to, but you can use the sink to wash your hands as long as you're not in line to try and get to a stall or a urinal. Maybe that's a solution, because I don't know. Maybe the rodeo did it differently, and you were there more recently than me, but I'm only using the porta potty to do the potty part, and then I'm going to find a sink to wash my hands or someplace else. I'm also not drinking that water, and I got to believe with soap involved, there's got to be some kind of hygiene advantage no matter what. But, yeah, I can see it being recycled water. I just don't know that I've ever focused on, like, washing my hands there. I always try and find an actual sink.
It just seems so counterproductive. Use recycled water and provide soap. I mean, what's more costly? It just sounds so weird to me. I can't believe they would even consider doing that. But who knows?
Now, our boy Demetrius has both a text and a tweet. The tweet is very good. The text is very bad. Text is, what are your thoughts on that scary Japanese hornet finally making it to the United States? We talked about it yesterday, so you're a day late, dollar short. We talked about it. Barry is not a fan of wasps and hornets, so he was not a fan. I said I'd kill it. I'd kill it with a tennis racket, and it doesn't scare me at all. But, I mean, I think somewhere in the middle there are people that will take both sides of that. But it would scare me
if I got stung, but I would kill it too. I mean, I would.
If it's coming at me, Barry said, oh, no, hell no, I'm running. No, I'm not. I'll kill it.
No, I'm not running either.
Yeah, I'm going to take it out, and then I'll step on it. And then my wife's going to be really upset that I took the life of an innocent insect, which is going to drive me nuts.
Well, I mean, it has to bother her. It doesn't give her a peace of mind if it's alive and just roaming the house, you know?
Everything bothers her in terms of killing any kind of bug, insect, whatever. Oh no, Boom Boom said, what about Clyde the Glide? No, I'll pass on that. U of H got a lot of financial support ticket sales, but no, I'm going to say that's a no. Hard no, as in not going to do that one, but okay. Thanks for suggesting that. Now, Demetrius did have a good text for all of you out there, out and about, if you're essential and otherwise and traveling the city, that I did want to get to because it's important. He sent me an alert. You already know, 59 Southwest Freeway plans to shut down tonight at 8 p.m. between Chimney Rock and Wesleyan, northbound and southbound. So both ways, Chimney Rock to Wesleyan is going to be shut down, which is essentially both sides of 610 going underneath. So that's 8 p.m. tonight till 5 a.m. tomorrow. Plan accordingly. Nick, you're going to escape it. Just be on the outskirts of that with where the station is. But everybody else, at 8 p.m. tonight, 59 shut down both ways, Chimney Rock to Wesleyan. Plan ahead. Demetrius, appreciate that bit of information that people can use.
In regards to the coronavirus, Governor Abbott just said that barbershops, hair salons, can open on Friday, May 8th. So okay. For those of you who need a fade, Friday, May 8th may be a good day for you too, if you choose to take that risk. I'm a little late. How have you been cutting your hair?
And I cut my own.
Oh,
yeah. You missed that yesterday. But yeah, so when I ordered a new clipper blade for my dog clippers, I guesstimated, because I normally cut those, they get the high and tight. They get the really, we take them down in the summertime, and so I take it really tight. I was thinking, well, so I need just a little longer than that. If that's they have numbers on the blades. It says 10. So I'm going to need about half of that added. So I'm going to go with a 5. So I ordered a 5, and I was going to see the people at Apollo Men's Health. I was like, I'm leaving the house. I can't have the Motley Crue backup singer hair anymore. So Lisa was busy with the baby. I said, screw it. I'm just going to try it. So I slapped on the blade and did the sides. And I looked at it. I was like, you know what? It's good. I like it. And it's clean and it's even. And so I did from my temple all the way back until I'm not going to like reach back there and take a shot at it. And so I go to turn the clippers over to Lisa. I said, I just need you to finish up by squaring off my collar and doing this. And she goes, oh, my God, you're Charlie Sheen in Major League. She's like, you have that mohawk going. I was like, yeah, that's not what I wanted. And I hope it's not that jagged back there. But then she finished it up, and I got a mop on top a little bit, but I've got, you know, the tight, clean sides, collar, and back. So I'll live with it.
So was this
your first?
I might
be able to save some money on haircuts now.
Was this your first haircut in the pandemic?
Yep. I had been going with no haircut for over a month and a half now. I was working on like 6 weeks. So, yeah, it was getting pretty bad.
Barbershops open May 8th. Gyms open at 25% capacity on May 18th. Locker rooms and showers will be off limits. That's crazy, man. You're going to go.
How the hell are they going to do that? You're a gym and you're gonna determine only 25% at one time. A lot of members are going to be like, one, I'm not paying full price for that, and two, how are you going to tell me I can or can't go in? Then you got to ask questions like, because I know all my guys are waiting to play basketball again, but are the gyms going to allow, you know, instead of 2-on-2 or whatever the numbers are, they said four, you know, four guys could play outside. Are they going to allow full court games? And then you see this. World Gym has just declared bankruptcy. Lifetime Fitness is okay for now, but 24-Hour Fitness has filed paperwork for bankruptcy. A lot of these gyms are going to go under, too. And I know they're starving financially, but there's another lawsuit waiting to happen. The first person that goes and starts working out and gets infected, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I don't like the gym idea.
I'm not a fan of it either. So we'll see how it goes. As we continue to roll, we got a half hour to go on the show. We're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back. 30 minutes on the clock. Lots more to get to. Obviously, we still have time for you, and you guys are chiming in on a lot of the topics we brought up today. So great interaction with the listeners. We'll continue to do that. Before we go to the break, I do want to talk about the good people at Infuse Energy. Infuse Energy is fantastic, locally owned operated company here in Houston area. I switched about 3.5 years ago, just re-upped with them, and why wouldn't I? They've saved me thousands off my previous energy provider, and a lot of the listeners and suspects feel the same way. P. Randizzle and others have changed, switched, and tweeted about how great the people at Infuse have been. Their customer service, second to none, 5 out of 5 stars from the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. That's the best that you can get, and you can get the same as everybody else by just calling 844-463-8732, 844-463-8732. You can also check them out online, infuseenergy.com. But if you call them, you mention ESPN 97.5, you get $25 off your first bill, and they'll go from there. They'll ask you questions. You'll talk to a human being. They'll make sure that they pinpoint when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your business? Is it for your family? And they'll get you the best rate they can. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Check them out. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by and infuse energy into your life.
More talk, less commercials. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
We are here for you. La, 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 la.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Suspects, final half hour of the show. I told Nick during the break, my wife had a real mission to get in to talk to me and kept coming by and asking, are you in a break? Are you in a break? Finally, when I went to break, she came in and her facial expression just changed to being like someone peed in her Cheerios. And I was like, what's wrong? Thinking it was something major. Well, breaking news, people. My daughter Madison has said her first words and my second child has followed suit with my daughter Taylor. Her first words, dada. And we have the video to prove it. Lisa is not happy.
She should
absolutely
be.
Love it. If I get that audio, we're playing it because she not only said it, but she repeated it over and over again. Now, and I will say to Lisa, not my fault. With Taylor, I coached her. I made sure dada was her first word. With Maddie, I've been too busy to worry about it, and she just broke out with a song of dada, and her first tooth has broken through. So a huge day for Madison Blank. Way to go, Maddie.
Well, congratulations, Maddie. A great day for Maddie. And for you.
Not a great day if you're not a great day for Lisa Blank, but for me and Maddie, I'll take it. It's a good day.
Good news.
We had some did you see SportsCenter last night?
With SVP?
Van Pelt, yeah.
I did see it. Yes, I did.
So Van Pelt has, you know, obviously with everything going on, he gets a lot of guests. And especially he's been having a ton of guests around The Last Dance, but he had Marshawn Lynch on because look, you can be a fan of Beast Mode or not, but he does a lot of great things in his community of Oakland. Lately, he's been driving around handing out free masks, especially to the homeless. And he has his signature golf cart on a trailer, and they wheel it off the vehicle they're driving, takes a whole big thing of masks, starts passing them out to homeless people and otherwise, doing a lot of great things. So Scott Van Pelt wanted to get him on. Early in the interview, he's very aware it's live TV, it's ESPN. He's minding his P's and Q's because, you know, he's had the ability in the past to drop a few choice words. Well, They start asking him about the fact there's a rumor out there that his agent has been talking to the Seahawks about him coming back to Seattle. Van Pelt asks him about it. He forgot everything that he was remembering at the start of the interview. Sounded like this.
Well, I mean, it's almost on that expect the unexpected. But, I mean, you know, just as far as right now, what I do know is, I'm going to keep it silent, like, is that, you know, my agent have been in talk with Seattle. So, like I said, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
If it work out and they, you know what I mean, and I get back up there, it is what it is. And, I mean, if not, I'm living good. So, I ain't really tripping too much.
I know that's right, man. Listen.
I've been trying to watch my mouth because I know you know what I mean? I hope y'all
whatever.
Got some editors up.
You know what, hey, man, if you're watching this Jordan doc, man, you can say whatever you want, man. That people, I gave up anymore, man. People are saying, people are just acting reckless on TV now, Marshawn. You can say whatever the hell you want.
Man, what's happening with you? All
right, maybe that was more than we're going to be able to get on the air. Hey, listen.
Just absolutely fantastic. When he finds out, he takes Scott Van Pelt literally and goes, oh, well, cool. If that's all right, then I'm going to drop everything in my vocabulary that I know that's not supposed to be on the air.
I loved how he intentionally dropped that. That was fantastic. And seeing the video makes it even funnier because it gives you that aesthetic, too. It's just hilarious how he just did not care. And SVP kind of liked it. He appreciated it. He knew a lot of it was probably, you know, it was missed on live TV, but they certainly isolated it and censored it and put it on their website. So,
well, and so if you've been watching SVP, especially after The Last Dance, he is so hung up on the fact that ESPN as a network is allowing cussing during the documentary, but that they don't allow him to do it. And when he does his podcasts for ESPN, they don't allow him to even, they don't want him doing it there either. And he's not happy with it. But in that clip, while he's talking about it, he wants to drop like an MF. He's like, you know, so, you know, the fact that they're letting on that documentary, the MF, you could just feel like he wants to say one of the words and then he holds back and thinks better of it. But he's that's really been an issue for him. He's not happy with the fact that he can't cuss.
Yeah, I mean, that's because some people, it's such a part of their dialect, like it's such a part of the way they speak that it becomes so, you know, hard for them to steer away from it. And I've heard a lot of people that tend to swear a lot. They say, man, I can't necessarily stop swearing. I can turn it down a good bit, but I just can't stop swearing. And I think that's what Lynch is. You know, he's just a guy that he just loves to talk the way he talks and he just lets it go. But that's why we all love Marshawn Lynch. I mean, that's the reason why he's a funny character and a funny person on TV, because he is who he is and he doesn't care.
I'm not sure what he's got left in the tank. You know, they brought him in late in the season last year. I don't know what he's got left as a running back. But I'll just say that, you know, as a person, he has overcome so much. Obviously, the fines and everything where he did, he just doesn't like to talk. A couple months ago, we had him where he had a football camp. And one of the mothers that brought their kids saw that he chewed out one of the kids and dropped an F-bomb. She started chewing him out, and he dropped F-bombs on her and just, you know, no violence or anything like that. But and then he was like, you know, chasing her around, trying to make his point, and then walked away. But he does it his way, and he's not a bad dude by any stretch. But, I mean, you can't – I like the guy. I think he's great, and I think that, you know, he's done a lot of different things that he should get more credit for in terms of both on the field and what he does off the field for his hometown of Oakland. So more power to Marshawn. I love it.
I think, I mean, he's obviously a super likable guy. I think Seattle, they actually do want him. I think they just...
Oh, Seahawks fans love him.
And I think the organization wants him too. I just think it's a matter of letting things progress in terms of who's available, then the budget, and then if we have room for Marshawn Lynch. Because he's not a guy that's a must-have person on your team. He's a guy that you include on the roster, and you preserve him as much as you can, but you use him at the right times. That's who Marshawn Lynch is at this point in his career. So I think they want him. I think it's just a matter of them making the numbers work. And I think he understands that, because you know, he doesn't seem very upset. You know, he kind of said it on the audio, you know, that, you know, he's not tripping too much. He's living pretty well, but he'd like, you know, I'm sure he would like to have another year with Seattle. So I think they want him. It's just a matter of getting those numbers to work more than anything else.
Yeah. Definitely something that, you know, it'll be, he's an icon. I just don't think that he's got much left in the tank as a running back, especially to the level that he's performed at one point in his career. Beast mode, I think, is past us. We saw that last year. He tried to have that smash mouth kind of running style that didn't work much anymore. But we'll see what they do. Ashton wants to get in here. He's got some topics. He wants to talk about what we were talking about with Scott Van Pelt and the uncensored ESPN and all of that. Ashton, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Joel? What's up, Nick?
What's up, Captain Quidditch?
Oh, yeah, man. Honestly, the two things I wanted to talk about, just because of, like, The Last Dance having, you know, the censored and uncensored channel. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, how close is that to, like, legit being the model that ESPN goes with, man? Like, that has to be the next move, right? Because I get it. They're especially with, you know, Mickey Mouse and everything like that. The big dog up top, he's in control. They're in control of everything that goes on there. But the next phase has to be getting sports, like, I guess you could say edgier or whatever, but giving people what sports really is about. Like, there's so many people who are former athletes, so many people who actually know what sports are about as a whole, people who know that athletes aren't role models, like Charles Barkley once famously said, and really, honestly, want to see that aspect of sports, because now we live in a day and age where, you know, fights happen on the field. The NFL has it almost mandated, and ESPN does as well, and pretty much every other TV network, where they pan away from it, where it's like that's a part of the game. Like, that's delivering a part of the game that people understand what it's.
Well, but Ashton, here's the thing you got to consider. ESPN's in a luxury situation. They have multiple channels. So you can have the censored version, and you can have the uncensored. Because I think we've talked about it. I brought it up. One of the things I'd love to see is when you start watching NFL Sunday Ticket or you're watching League Pass for the NBA and you have a back channel that can just pick up the mics, whether it be in the huddle and on the field or floor, and get some of what you're talking about. But the other thing is you're going to have agent pushback. You're going to have people that are, you know, PR people that are in charge of imaging for players and teams. They're going to have real issues because they want to portray their players as heroes, role models, everything that you said, like MJ said in the documentary and Charles has said in the past. For as much as the players didn't want to be role models, the organizations and the agents, they want them to be looked at as role models because there's more endorsements. There's more money to be had. And if you get a player that you're trying to, you know, portray as pure and you know, role model and parent, you know, parents love the player, and he drops a couple of MFs and maybe gets a little dicey in a fight or a situation like that, and it gets out there for the world to see, that's going to take a lot of money out of their pockets.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say to that is, you know, the problem is, you know, you can go a bit edgier on cable TV, but on just regular terrestrial TV, I just feel like it's a bit more of a challenge. And I think ESPN understands that. I think that's the reason why you see ESPN produced podcasts. They're not podcasts that are by ESPN broadcasters or reporters or employees that are just their own personal podcasts and they're starting up. No, they're actually started by ESPN. And I think that's what's going to, those are the type of platforms that are going to have to remain for the same for now in terms of allowing broadcasters to be edgier. I just don't think you can do that on terrestrial radio. You can get away with it a little bit on cable TV. You can definitely get away with it online. I just don't see ESPN, the terrestrial platform, allowing something like that. I just think that's difficult.
Fair enough. And obviously cable, it's okay. It's up to the network to decide whether they want to do it or not. And over the air, it's obviously a no-no with the FCC. So, good conversation there. Ashton, we appreciate the call. Appreciate you chiming in. And we'll come back to wrap up the show, put a bow on it. Next, turn it over to the Blitz. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Living in and out of a big fat suitcase,
bona fide box, step aside, Mike Johnson. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Suspects to wrap it up, put a bow on it, turn it over to the Blitz. If you missed any portion of today's program, you go to ESPN975.com, click on the tab for The Suspects at the top of the page. Menu will come down. You can catch up on the hours that you missed. And while you're on the front page, if you follow the instructions and download the app, you can take it anywhere, everywhere, and never miss an ESPN 97.5 show. Barry will be back with us tomorrow on a Way Back Wednesday. I don't know that we've officially picked the theme for tomorrow, but look forward to that and catching up with our main man. Also, hopefully, you guys will be there, too. Just looking at some of these, someone had a great point during the break. Could you imagine how good the NBA on TNT studio show would be if it was uncensored? Because, I mean, Charles has dropped some bombs in the past, kind of accidentally. But with Shaq and everybody,
it'd be just fantastic.
And it's cable. They actually could do it, especially if it's late night. I just think that would be fantastic.
Especially with that group, that trio. You know, you got Ernie, the super professional, who I would imagine, even if he was allowed, or maybe he can swear a little bit. I feel like even if he was allowed, he wouldn't swear. Barkley would let things loose. I think Kenny Smith would pick
Kenny his spots. He ain't doing it.
I think he'd pick his spots, you know.
If they allowed him
on TNT. And that's the thing. See, TNT, you know, why it's so hard for a platform like TNT, like you mentioned the role model part and their agents and everything else, TNT doesn't just produce basketball content. And so for a platform like TNT, it's even more difficult. But, yeah, I would love that show. That show would be awesome if you could let Charles Barkley just say whatever the hell he wants. That would be fantastic.
Well, and what I've told you guys in the past, I firmly believe this. It doesn't have to be the main channel. But if you had, you know, they have those big parabolic mics. They look like DirecTV satellite dishes, but they're clear on all the sidelines and both indoor football games and even on basketball games. And they pick up everything. It would be so cool. And again, no way the PR departments and the PR people and the agents for the players are going to sign off on this. But if you could pick up just on all of that dialogue, I mean, you think about how excited people were when it was the Omaha with Peyton Manning and kind of picking up on some of the audible talk and some of the terminology that's kind of funny that teams use. But then just think about the trash talking and the bombs being dropped in the heat of competition. I think there'd be so many people, if they had a channel just dedicated to that, that would want to hear that stuff. I think it would be amazing, and it would be next level for broadcasting to go to. I just don't think they're ever going to do it because I don't think the players are going to even agree to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's even difficult for them to do it even from one of the things that fans appreciate is when players are mic'd up, right? And then we talked about the process of how the team has to kind of approve of everything. I mean, ESPN has kind of done that in the past where they kind of play clips of what they're talking about in commercial breaks.
Well, how about MJ during the Last Dance this last weekend when he was mic'd up in the All-Star game and they caught everything he was saying about Kobe?
Yeah, and why not TNT do that with their broadcasters? Let them let loose and say whatever the hell they want to say. Have an editor or a producer go through it and publish whatever you think is okay. But I think even a censored, bleeped out clip is something that TNT and ESPN wants nothing to be a part of, including, like you mentioned, the agents and the players who have that look that they want to keep and maintain and establish.
Image is everything. But, yeah, I mean, I've walked you guys through the process because I was involved in it personally when you mic up a player. Because the players always think it's a good idea and then forget that the mic is on. But the way the NBA does it is you're mic'd up. There's a special recording going on in the truck. You're supposed to have a team public relations person sitting next to the tape operator recording all the dialogue. They are constantly reviewing it. If it has anything to do with strategizing or any kind of game terminology, whether it be play calling or defensive maneuvers, offensive plays, things like that, it's completely not allowed. And then the rule is the PR person sitting in the truck has to approve the sound bites they want to use when they play the mic'd up segments. After that point in which they select any given sound bites, the rest of it has to be deleted immediately and destroyed so that it doesn't come back to haunt the player, the organization, the league. And I've told you in the past about a time that we got caught because someone got their 15 minutes of fame by getting a soundbite they put on the internet of J.B. Bickerstaff and Kevin McHale talking when the Rockets were getting pounded by the Blazers in one of those playoff games, and they were critical of effort and some players. And McHale was livid, and we were on a conference call with the league, which McHale said, "You tell them I'm never doing it again until they guarantee me 100 times over that it is foolproof. This can't happen." And I totally sympathize with him because he's right. It's one thing to be a guy that at least is willing to take the risk and say, "Yeah, I'll do it. I get what you guys are trying to do. As opposed to like Popovich, who doesn't even want to do the interviews during the game. Mikhail was willing to do it and be mic'd up. But the understanding is you're not going to put anything out there that makes me look like a fool. And they did.
Yeah, and that's the trust that, you know, a coach has to have. In most cases, that does not happen. But, you know, obviously someone wanted their 15 minutes of fame, as you mentioned, and that's just an unfortunate situation for Kevin. But in most cases, I mean, that's why you're surrounded by a team to kind of look out for you. That's why there's a PR department, you know, for that very reason. And so when you're a part of a team that employs you and kind of, in a way, really just violates your trust, even if it wasn't intentional, I'm sure Kevin Mikhail, you know, felt some type of way about that. But in most cases, they do pretty good about it. Every once in a while, you know, there'll be a mishap and something gets out there that's not. But that's what we do in the media. Is not only do we speculate, we try to get dirt, and we try to whether journalists want to you know, admit to it or not. You know, they want the controversial stuff so they can get the clicks and the views and the listens and all that. So, I mean, yeah.
So yeah, and I mean, everybody's looking cutting edge, right? And they're looking to take it next level. Now, let me, with that in mind, let me ask you this: where are you on Pat McAfee? Because Pat McAfee, the ex-punter for the Colts, who's now on ESPN, very outspoken, likes to be brash, tries to be hip and cool. I think he goes over the top. I'm not a huge fan. I don't know what your thoughts are. If you've seen him, you know who he is. And what do you think?
I know who he is. I think that, you know, he's, for whatever reason, someone very important has afforded him that edginess that he likes to bring up on the show. Because ESPN normally doesn't go too edgy. So he plays that role, and, you know, he is kind of over the top. You're right. Yeah, I think you're either a fan of him or you're not. But he goes for that controversial angle. That's what he
likes. He's got Barstool in his background. He definitely comes across as kind of a Barstool-type personality from Barstool Sports. But I bring it up to you, Nick, because ESPN, in their constant effort to try and upgrade Monday Night Football. And we've talked about Peyton Manning. We've talked about them trying to make a trade to get Al Michaels from NBC. They're striking out left and right. They're not sure what they're going to do with Booger. Obviously, thankfully, Witten did them a favor and went back to playing. But now it is rumored that one of the main names they are considering for Monday Night Football is none other than Pat McAfee. I get too much of Pat McAfee as it stands.
I know, you've talked about this a lot.
I'm just not a fan.
Yeah. I mean, I can see how he's not for everybody. You either like his approach or you don't. I mean, I can watch it. He doesn't annoy me as much, but I can see how people are attracted to that type of content. You know what I mean?
So here's what we're looking at. Last year it was Joe Tessitore, Booger McFarland, and on the sidelines it was Lisa Salters. Now they're rumored as analysts to be considering Lewis Riddick and Dan Orlovsky. On the other side, you know how I feel about Lewis Riddick. I think he's fantastic. I think he'd be great.
Agreed.
Dan Orlovsky, as bad as he was as a backup quarterback, he's pretty darn good.
I think he's really well on the air. I think he does very, very well. I think he rolls with the punches really, really well. I think he knows how to handle Stephen A. very, very well. He carries himself very well on the air. He makes really, really good points. He's absolutely prepared. I'm actually a fan of Dan. I think he does really well. McAfee is just a guy I just don't care for. It's not that I hate him. I just don't care for him.
That's what I'm with you too. And they say Steve Levy, the one-time SportsCenter anchor, now announcer, is one of the guys they're considering for play-by-play. Tessitore, I'm not a huge fan of, just simply because he gets a little too flippant with the nicknames and assumes people know who they're talking about and tries to be a little too hip. But overall, I know they have to do something. I think I'm good with Riddick and Orlovsky. I don't think I'm good with Levy or McAfee. And why are you going to take Lisa Salters off the air? She doesn't do anything. She does NBA too. She's obviously very reputable and credible. Why are you going to take her off the air?
I don't know. I don't know what their new approach is. I don't know what the dynamic of the platform is and why they want to make these type of moves. I mean, I would imagine that, you know, whoever gets that Monday Night Football gig is going to be a super happy camper, considering those contracts are getting bigger and bigger, just like NBA and NFL and MLB contracts. They just seem to get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's unbelievable.
Well, and you bring up a great point, Nick, because it says the Walt Disney Company has ordered executives from the vice presidency level on up to take pay cuts of 20 to 30%. ESPN has asked its top 100 highest paid on-air talents to take 15% pay cuts for 3 months. Throwing money at an outsider to make them talent on Monday Night Football doesn't make a lot of sense. And I would tend to agree with that. ESPN, ESPN Radio, ESPN across the board with their employees, they're cutting back. ABC is the parent company, cutting back. So you're going to cut back, and then you're going to throw money at an outsider to try and bring him in into the fold. Steve Levy is your own talent. Louis Riddick is your own talent. Orlovsky is your own talent. Lisa Salter is ABC and ESPN, your own talent. People totally are going to understand if you just do the conservative approach and keep it under your own umbrella. Where they're going to have a problem is if you lay off a bunch of people and then go pay $5 million or $10 million to get an outside guy. Like they were saying, Kurt Warner might be another guy if Peyton Manning didn't want it. But you're going to have to pay in excess of $5 to $10 million for Kurt Warner. How are you going to do that and justify it when you're cutting people left and right under your own umbrella?
I don't know either. I guess they're just looking at these TV numbers, and you know how astronomical those numbers are. And it always just seems like there's enough money. There's a budget. There's enough. I mean, I don't know what the rationale is behind that. I just feel like you're throwing away a lot of money. I tend to agree with you because I love Louis Riddick and I love Orlovsky. I think those two do really, really well together. I mean, they actually have a bunch of in-house talent that they could, put together that I think would do really, really well. I just don't know if they're making those considerations.
Someone texted and said, yeah, McAfee's not for the old crowd. Well, Nick, I guess you've been roped in now with me as being part of the old crowd. I completely disagree with that. I mean, Orlovsky's a new guy, a young, hip guy. Even Riddick is. I like both of those guys. There's plenty of guys that I would consider. I'll tell you who I'd like, and I know people are going to have all their comments about it because I tell you all the time. Ryan Clark would be outstanding.
Ryan Clark
would give you everything and more.
You have a bit of a man crush on Ryan Clark.
I'm getting Ryan Clark on this show. If you won't help me, that's too bad.
He's solid. He's definitely
solid. His Twitter account's fantastic. He's funny. He knows the game. He gives you everything you need. Ryan Clark, yes. McAfee, no. Texter, kiss my ass. That's the way we'll wrap up the show. Look, I'm a poet. I didn't even know it. How about that? All right, Nicholas, appreciate you, brother, filling in for Barry.
Yes,
Barry
sir.
Back tomorrow. So look forward to that on a Way Back Wednesday. We'll also have that to offer you up. And, of course, you guys hopefully will be a part of the show, and we appreciate you. So we'll hopefully see you again 1 to 4 tomorrow on ESPN 97.5. For now, for Nick and myself, have a great night, everybody. Here comes AJ, Aaron, and Fred. Here comes the Blitz, ESPN 97.5.
Then I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.